Right, man, I was so out of breath. Like the first two times, like the first time I recorded that video, I like nailed everything I wanted to say, but I was just like,
that's one of the things when I try to record anything. It's like, I don't know. Knocking it, I was pegging it.
Double high five, right?
Yes. You have to knock first.
Barge in. The triple X right here.
He's gonna barge in.
That just a knock on the butt cheeks. Can I come in?
What? You hear me knocking? I'm in the back like Mark Wahlberg.
Let me the cheeks.
Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We are the band.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are the Hype Attack.
I am the hype!
Yeah, I learned that from Wayne's World.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hype Attack Podcast, where we weigh in on the latest and greatest pop culture hype. As always, I'm Jermaine, and I'm here with Doug, Isaac, and Rudy.
What's going on?
Hola.
What's up? Hi. So, and today, we're going to talk about some A24. The outlandish stories with a distinctive point of view. Mm. Pushing the boundaries of what is expected. Mm-hmm. I have to look at my notes here, you know. I'm not perfect. So we're going to be discussing A24 movies, a few of them that what we have seen, and we're going to do a little deep dive into all that stuff. But as always, what are you guys hyped about?
Oh, man. I finally finished the Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty DLC story. Oh, man. I think I mentioned last week that I had to make, like, a choice at one point in the story, and it was kind of a hard choice. And then, like, leading up to the end, there was a lot of choices to be made, and I just kind of went with my gut, and, like, I got an ending, and I'm happy with the ending, but I'm also, like, not happy with the ending. It's great that these kind of games exist where I'm just like, oh, man, did I make the right choice? Like, I don't know.
Are you going to run the whole thing back and try again?
Yes, because I have... The first character I played before they released the expansion, when they released the expansion, I started a new character and played all the way through. And then so now I might go back and use my old character to just do the DLC again and then go like the complete other path. But even then, like there's the two main paths, but then I think there's options within those, but I'll probably just go like a different way. But yeah, no, good, damn good game. I love Cyberpunk 2077 more than I think any other game I've ever played. Because I have my first character I had like 80 hours in. Well, actually, no. She's my second character. My first character I played back before they fixed it, and I just kind of got through the game quickly because it was all buggy and everything. And then when they fixed it, I made her, and I got like 80 hours in, and she hasn't even played any of the new content. And then this new character I have like 60 hours in, and I still haven't finished the old content, so... I've played a lot of this game and I love it.
Most favorite game so far?
It's hard to say because games like World of Warcraft or Warhammer Online back when that was a thing, or even Destiny, because I could play with my friends, like have like a bigger part of my heart because there's so many memories I made with friends I know in real life, and then even like Stranger Dangers with Warhammer Online, especially with my old guild. Shout out to Enigma if there's like the five of you. But no, yeah, Cyberpunk 2077 is just such a cool experience. I love Night City. I love driving around and like just being part of that world. And I really look forward to see what they're going to do with the sequel. I hope they don't change things up too much because they did a damn good job with that game.
Is that a multi-platform game?
Multi-platform? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on, I play on the PS5, but it's on PC also. Mm-hmm. And it was on PS4, but never, ever played on the PS4. That's where it got all the shit. When it came out, it looked like absolute garbage on the PS4. Shame. I was lucky enough to
play never mind then.
PS4 Pro, but...
I won't pick it up in 5 years from now.
Yeah. I also started playing a new game that I've been looking forward to forever, and it came out yesterday, Deep Rock Galactic Survivors. It's a horde roguelite auto shooter that's... It's taken the whole auto shooter thing to like a whole nother level, and I'll probably do a little video about it on this. But
yeah, because you're going to start doing video game videos, aren't you?
Maybe.
I'm telling you, I'm not asking your suggestion.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to start doing those. Yeah. But yeah, that's a really good game too. So that's what I'm hyped about.
All right, I'm going to come in hot a little bit. All right, not to ruin the whole facade and stuff like that, but we're recording the day after Valentine's Day, and what came out of Valentine's Day? But Madam Web, and I know you guys are like, well, are you really going to go see that movie if out of all the movies that are out right now and stuff like that? Look, it's my thing. I got to go see a movie and see how bad it was.
But go watch a good movie, damn it.
I was already seeing how bad it was going to be, and I was trying not to spoil it for myself. But man, it I don't think it'll be a cult classic bad movie the way like Tommy Wiseau's The Room is. But it's still a fun one to maybe not pay to go see it.
Did
but
you use fun?
Yeah, because it's so bad. It was just like silly bad. Like my wife and I turned at each other and looked and went like, really? They did that? That's what they said? That's what they went with? Out of everything, all the screenings of it and you know, watching the dailies and the final edit, this is what they went with. Okay, mm-hmm. It's like AI made the movie.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. Dead Man's Soul. It was so bad. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, I'm gonna see it for Sydney Sweeney and what's her name?
Isabella Merced.
And they were just annoying, sniveling teens, and the trailer made the movie seem like semi okay, semi cool.
No.
Semi. No. I mean like a small fraction. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll give it a chance. And
my thought when the trailer came out was like, okay, if this wasn't superhero stuff and it was just like generic action-y where this girl got the powers to kind of like precognition. Right,
yeah.
Like, I might have been more interested in it. But the fact that they slapped superhero shit onto it, I just knew it was going to be dumb. And I love superheroes, but I just knew.
It was one of those, it felt the least like a superhero movie at all. Yeah. I mean, it made Morbius look like fucking Godfather. It was a mess. It was really bad. No. Check it out.
We like Mavorn on this show, and we like Madam Web, apparently. No.
It's one of those Madam movies Webb, where you get the
sorry.
Yeah, damn. Can sorry. I get some mic time? No, I'm kidding. Jesus. No, I'm kidding.
I had a good line. Still owe him from last week, so.
Yeah, I know, but I had a good line.
But it's like Dragon Ball Z Evolution.
Oh, why? Ooh, why would you say man. That?
No.
We talked because, about this when we're going to show. We're going to talk about the movie.
This.
Hold on.
Because it's do not put Dragon Ball, wow. You did not have to put the name Dragon Ball on that. You could have called it something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could have called it anything else because that wasn't Dragon Ball. So when you have this movie titled Madam Web, I'm like, no. It's not what it's going to. You tried to get me, but you will never get me back in the seats ever again. Damn you.
Getting butts in movies.
You. Damn you.
Getting butts in movies.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the trailer really
hashtag
just butts and movies. I'm gonna put that in my reviews and shit like that. Butts and movies.
Yeah, hashtag. I think I butts got that movies. From. Yeah.
Okay. Does that signal in? Does that do anything to?
I was holding.
No. In the trailer you see the girls in their costumes. You see that for like, I'm being generous, 10 seconds in the movie, and when you do see it, you go, okay, that's it. That's all we get. Fuck.
That's stupid.
Dumb. So I don't need to ever watch this movie. Thank you for that.
For a good laugh. Yeah, go check it out.
Oh,
Rudy?
No.
What are you hyped about this past week?
I want Jermaine to go first because one of his, I think most of the shit he's hyped about this week, we're hyped about this week, so.
Cute.
Touch tips.
No. No, go ahead. I have like a little list of things, but go ahead.
Oh, well, I didn't really have anything.
Oh.
I mean, I don't want to be like.
You were just hoping for that.
I don't want to step on your list over there.
No, just go ahead. So,
mom, dad.
We did mention a little bit in the last episode about X-Men 97.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer just dropped. You know, I'm very, very hyped about that. It looks like it's going to be good.
Continuing storyline.
Oh yeah.
I dig that.
I just like that it feels like it never left. And just me and Rudy had a little conversation about that little scene in the trailer where they showed Gambit and Wolverine.
Oh, that was cool.
And
oh,
yeah. It was just Gambit, you know, just kinetic charge his claws. Yeah. And I was like, oh boy. Like, it's just those little moments about X-Men that you used to get in the comics. Like, I remember when there was a particular comic, I don't remember which one it was, but where Colossus had Wolverine, like, just in his hands, and he just, like, threw him. Just one of those little...
Didn't that move have a name? End?
I don't remember if it had, like, a name off the top of my head.
Where they throw Wolverine, isn't it, like, the fastball special or something like that?
I don't know, something
Claw
like that.
Chucker.
Did they call it? Did they give it a name in Last Stand?
It legit has a name.
Yeah,
well, sure. Well, we can look it up.
I know it does.
I'm definitely excited about, there's a new ninja series coming to Netflix called House of Ninjas.
I'm
very excited about that. The trailer looked amazing. I don't know too much about it, but the trailer alone looked good. And
you can be ninja?
the new Ninja Turtle comic that's coming out, that's taking place in the last Ronin era, the last Ronin re-evolution. I'm very excited about that because we get to see the new turtles and like how their future story is going to go. So I'm excited to see how that storyline continues.
What do you feel about IDW completely relaunching the Space Ninja Turtle story?
Oh.
They're ending the long run at 150.
Yeah.
And that's coming up. And then TMNT is starting over at number one.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited about that, to get like on board for that. And I really hope they collect all 150 into like just
one
massive book.
Anything TMNT, I'm with. Like, I've been loving the Turtles ever since I was a kid. So the more Turtles I get, I'm with it.
Comic book wise, we're like kind of at this heyday of like 80s like rebirths, mm-hmm. with there's a new Transformers comic just started. Like, they relaunched that just a few months ago. Yeah. Thundercats, literally like this month, they've relaunched, and then Ninja Turtles are getting relaunched. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's some G.I. Joe stuff.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah,
like they just did a Cobra Commander comic that looks really good.
Yeah.
Can I ask a general question about comics? And you can cut this out afterwards and jump back in when you're flow. When it comes to comics, and they essentially like reboot or come up with a new storyline, is the fandom generally accepting?
Absolutely not. No.
Really?
No. Fans hate everything change.
No, but really?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know, it's like sad. When they reboot movies, it's like, oh, so and so's not going to be good. They're doing this, blah, blah, blah. They're woke, whatever. But how are comic book fans?
For things like Ninja Turtles or Thundercats and stuff like that, like, Thundercats hasn't really been, like, a long-standing series in the comic book world. They've done, like, a few things here and there. But, like, Ninja Turtles, like, IDW has been doing them for, again, 150 issues is when they're breaking it off. So, like, I'm sure there's some people that are going to be upset about it. But at the same time, they're probably excited to get, like, a new start. And, again, like, it's a good place for, like, people to jump on board, which is always the goal. Yeah. Like, but I think to, like, the bigger companies like DC... when they did the New 52, which was a huge literal reboot of the entire DC thing. And like, everyone was so, so mad. And I felt like I was the one person that was like excited for it because it was a restart and people could jump in and we got these stories, but they probably changed too much.
I do feel like it's probably kind of easier with the Turtles because over the years we've had so many different, like turtle stories and, you know, from animated, you know, stuff to comics. So it's, you see the turtles in different styles over the years. You know, certain comic book publishers have had the rights to them, and then, you know, and it moved to other ones. But it's that one, I feel like it's one of those things where there's a generation for a certain style of turtles.
You know,
we grew up on the old school cartoon and the movies, and then you had, you know, these newer fans that came up on the 2011 animated show, and now you have the Nickelodeon ones, you know. So it's almost like Star Wars, where it's like a generational thing. You know, you have, you have the originals, but then you have the new fans, you know, from...
Is that... Because he covered a good point. Is like, do you think one of the main reasons they do that is to bring in new blood?
Yeah, because again...
I do feel it's a thing, yes.
Yeah, you look at this 150-issue run of the Ninja Turtles on IDW, and you're right, they were on... There was a few other comic book publishers.
Marvel had them for a while. Yeah. Image.
But IDW had like the longest longest run. Yeah. And like at this point, like you probably could just jump in and be somewhat comfortable, but there is a lot, because like there's the fifth turtle, Jenica is in that series. They brought back Venus, I think, which was a callback to the live action Ninja Turtles like series that they had. Like they brought in all these characters, and at a certain point there's only so much you can do with one cast.
You guys taught me a lot when we covered TMNT on that one episode
for sure. Yeah.
So good shit.
Back to TMNT, Jay. My boys. I'm also excited for because I set up my PlayStation finally. I'm even though the Prince of Persia's game has been out for a while, I'm excited to play that. The new side scroller version.
Is that the Lost Crown?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm excited for that. And then my last two things are Justice League Crisis on Infinity Earths. I'm excited for that. Part one.
Is that out?
I don't think.
It's an animated feature, right?
Yes, it's an animated movie.
I'm pretty sure it's out.
I still need to check that out. And then Ninja Kamui, however you say that.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that one because that's on HBO and we got the first episode, and I've been watching this trailer over and over and over and over and over and over again. Just like how I used to watch that Zack Snyder's 300. I don't know what it was about that trailer, but it was like every day I came home, I just had to sit down and watch that.
Oh, that trailer and his trailer for Watchmen. Yeah. Zack Snyder movies and their trailers, man, good stuff. But the Watchmen trailer, I think, goes down as like one of the best trailers.
Yeah, he knows how to do slow-mo, dude.
Yeah.
Epic as fuck.
Yeah. But those are my things that I'm hyped for in 2024.
Oh man, I was waiting for you to bring up Spartacus.
Oh, what? I was gonna save that for like another one, but since you brought it up, I did talk to Rudy because we did watch Spartacus back in the day. And if you never watched Spartacus, shame on you.
Spartacus.
No, the series that Showtime did.
Yeah.
Right. Was it on Showtime or was it on Stars?
Oh, Stars, sorry.
Yeah. I was watching
whichever one it was.
I was watching it when they brought it to Netflix. I was like, okay, I gotta finally watch the Spartacus. And I was fucking digging it. And then, like, first season, for whatever reason, Netflix had, like, episodes 1 through 6. Mm-hmm. And then, like, 10, 11, 12, or something. Like half the season in the middle was gone from Netflix. I was so confused. I was like, all right, never mind. I'll never go back to it. Like, fuck it.
So,
but the little bit I watched, it was amazing. I've been meaning to go back to it.
It's one of those shows, I will say this. If it came out today, how hyped everybody was about Game of Thrones... You know, how people were watching that thing like weekly, you know, and there was discussions, there was chats, you know, there was people,
television
trying not to spoil anything. You know, the hypomania that was around that was crazy. But Spartacus, to me, was before Game of Thrones, so I would always have that love for it. But the shit that was happening in this show... like blew my mind. I was like, they just the deception, the betrayals, the battles, the way that it was written. I just loved how they talked in this series. But anyways, there's a new series coming out, and it's Spartacus, House of Asher. However you say his name, and it's supposed to be like a what if?
It's supposed to be a what if, which what ifs are taking off now since Marvel made it cool. Everyone can point out, say, this is an alternate universe, like Marvel's what if. You guys like the What If, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're doing our own What Ifs.
I would say Star Trek did it first with the Mirror Universe. Mm. So fuck Marvel.
No. Star Trek did it first, but Marvel made it cool. And you can't fight that because everyone loves the what ifs.
Yeah, I just have two words for
animated.
Bang bang. but anyways, this show is an all around great show. I mean, it had me rooting for people. It had me in tears. The shock value that happened in the show. It was just all around good. So therefore, I'm very excited for this new show because of who it revolves around, and this character, I hated him so much.
Does it revolve around Spartacus?
No, another character.
This is actually after Spartacus's time.
Yeah,
and it's focusing on a villain from the main storyline, and in the main storyline, he dies.
Yeah,
like he gets his comeuppance, but in this alternate version of it, they're bringing like, what if he survived, and he caused like the downfall of Spartacus, and he gets rewarded with, you know, okay, the Roman Empire's all like accolades and stuff like that, and he gets his own stuff.
Okay.
He's one of those characters that plays his character so well that you hate him.
Yeah.
I love that.
Those are so good. Everyone loves to hate a villain.
But that's why I love and hate him at the same time. If I can, or if you make me hate you as a character, I'd love you for it even more.
Oh,
so yeah. that's really why I'm excited for this, because he's supposed to get his own house, and like how devious he was in the Spartacus series. I'm really interested to see how he, or just what he does. But I'm really ready for the deception. That's really what I'm waiting for.
That's awesome. That's exciting.
Yeah, that character was
such a good show.
Was a snake. Just villainous. Like he. Intricacies, plots within plots. Like he was really good, and like, and he
too
was
too good, too good.
And he was kind of like that character. Like he wanted to be a gladiator, but he was so good at plots and deception and being that shadowy figure in the background that he kind of got pulled away from being a gladiator, and he always hated that. And just like they're giving him his own show to like kind of flesh him out. And I'm when Jermaine brought this to me, I'm like, first of all, didn't this motherfucker die? And they're like, no, it's a what if story. I'm like, oh shit,
yeah,
that's awesome. Here we go. So, like, I'm ready. And that whole series, like, if Jermaine's right, if they had launched on a major streaming platform instead of on cable, that shit would have been as big as Game of Thrones.
I know a few people that watched it and really, really liked it. Now, was that the one that had like a lot of good donger shots, or am I thinking Rome?
Oh, it's in there.
Dongers.
Oh no, it's in there. There's everything. There's sex. There's nudity, blood, violence.
Peeping Peters on that show,
So
wieners.
When they have fight scenes, it's on the level. I will say this, done very well, but on the level of like Mortal Kombat, where you see people, you know, just getting stabbed, and then they pull out the sword and just blood just
blood and shit everywhere.
It is a phenomenal show, and I hate that people don't give it as props like they should. I guess because it came out a little too early before, you know, the hype train and all the social media buzz. But man, it was such a good show. Like when I say emotional, just thinking about that right now, I would just break down and cry right now. I could cry on cue.
I think you're right. It came out at a time when people, the average person, I guess I would say, the average audience, like, wasn't interested in like a lot of violence and those kind of stories. But I would say maybe Game of Thrones was the one that, because people talked about it so much, people like got introduced to the idea of like you can have these political, actiony, violent, sexy shows. Yeah.
And that was in there. That was in there. That was exactly what the show was about. Man.
I think you're right, though. It's just the audience wasn't receptive to it at that particular time.
Yeah. Rudy, would you like to repeat what I just said as well?
You know, and Spartacus. I don't know if you heard of the show called Spartacus, but look. It's this really cool show.
Hey, I did the same thing last week.
Three seasons.
Why do I get fucking pointed out? No.
Why does my shit get pointed out?
I'm trying to tell you right now.
Fucking joining the conversation.
I did the same thing last week.
When you're up to Maine, you asshole. Trying to participate, you motherfucker.
Shut the fuck up and let me.
Sorry, I'm really irritated.
Oh, we know you are.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't need to say anything. It wasn't even that bad. I just
fucking asshole.
Yes, but anyway, Spartacus, go watch it right now. I'm not saying that people didn't like it because the show finished and it wrapped up perfectly. They gave me what I wanted. The only thing I was sad about that I can't even talk about it, but the main character from the first season.
Spartacus?
Passed away in real life because he had cancer. But Andy Whitfield was his name, and nobody can play Spartacus like how he plays Spartacus.
He was perfect.
I love the new actor. I don't even remember his name, but I love the new actor. But the way Andy Whitfield plays Spartacus, like his little scream, his yell, like his mannerism, just how he carried himself, the new actor didn't have all that stuff in his bag. But he was just phenomenal, and I'm glad we got to see him in that role before he passed, because he was
Liam McIntyre,
such a good Spartacus.
Hopefully some guys can scream well in this one.
And Liam McIntyre did like a very good job finishing off the series.
Yes.
But it's still like you look at the first, I think it was two seasons he did before. I don't know if it was the first or second one where he
It was the first season, and then he was going through his stuff and he passed, and then they went back and did a prequel season. And then they came back.
Oh, that's right.
And then they came back with the new season.
That first season, like the depth of emotion that he put into that character was massive. I think that's what, like, to me, it was the biggest draw of the show was him playing.
Yes,
Spartacus.
That was what it was.
Exactly. That's awesome.
I love Spartacus so. I have all the seasons on DVD. So I just love that series so much.
Yeah, we were talking about that today. I'm like, I'm going to have to fucking track down all the episodes now and do a rewatch.
Yeah.
Is it not streaming?
I don't know.
I haven't even looked. But if it's on Showtime or Stars, then it's probably behind that paywall.
Oh, I have both of those. So if it is, we can fire it up. Let's
fucking go.
Bragger.
I could be wrong. It might be on Amazon.
It's irresponsible. It's not bragging. It's Sunday. Sunday, I'm going to do the math and be like, what the fuck am I doing?
Spartacus.
What have they done to us? What did they do to us?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a million streamers. A future show. We're going to dive into the streamers.
Yeah.
How we overpay for content these days. Just like cable.
Oh, now we're at that point where it's it all adds up to. Yeah.
But we can watch them whenever we want. And we're getting a lot more content, but part of me still misses the
simplicity of like, well, let's see what they're programming for me, because that like, don't need to have like that thing where it's too much.
Well, and that I think that's where movies, like Shawshank is the great one, right? Shawshank Redemption. If that came out now, people would be like, that movie was great, and then probably not talk about it anymore. But the fact that it came out back then, and TNT and HBO and Cinemax and all those would constantly show it, you'd be like, oh, yeah. Shawshank's on again? I'll watch it.
That's considered a cult classic, too.
Shawshank.
Fuck off. Yeah, it wasn't,
that movie wasn't a hit when it came out in theaters. It was just thanks to VHS and it getting replayed, like I said.
But on to the main topic of discussion for this episode,
A24. Back to A24.
And a studio that I had no idea was just a distribution channel before they started producing movies, starting with Moonlight.
Wow.
Like they literally formed out of like three guys in a hedge fund or some kind of financial company. And they're like, we wanted to get into the movie business and distribute movies that people aren't necessarily seen.
Okay, because that's like the general thing that I like about A24, because I don't know their origin. I could have done research, but we don't do that on the show. But I think what's so fun about A24 is it is these ideas that you go, wow, I can't believe they made a movie of that, and then hire the correct people or whatever, and maybe just didn't get in the creator's way. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what their whole process is, but I mean, most of their movies are bangers. They're great.
Yeah, well, or just fucking weird.
They started out.
Yeah, I love when movies take.
You do have a mixture of bangers, weird movies, the horror. They have a pinky toe dipped in everything, and all their movies is exquisite.
Yeah.
I honestly feel I have not seen a bad A24 movie. this is just my opinion, but it's just one of those things where you go into a movie and this is the type of ride that you want a movie to give you, that feeling where they take the movie, their little twists and turns, you know, of their oddball stuff, but it just works for them. Like, and that's just why I like A24 movies, and I will continue to go watch A24, not Madam Web. But
anyways, you say they give you
movie boners. Oh, sorry.
They give you something outside of the mainstream, outside of what everyone else is doing with their formulaic stories.
Almost, I don't want to compare it to Black Mirror, but it's one of those type of movie studios that it's the twists and turns. Some of them you don't expect, because you get a lot of recipes, you know, from normal movies, that it's, you know, kind of like a repeated thing. So you kind of almost expect what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But with these type of movies, the I don't like to use that term, but I'm going to use it, the outside of the box thinking of how they create these movies, and even how they show the trailers. Like, that's one of the things that grabs me first, of course, is the trailer. But it's just shown in an interesting way that you're looking at the trailer. For instance, I saw The Lamb, and if anybody hasn't seen it, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there was just one thing that I saw in the trailer, and I was like, they're not going to do that. I was like, there's no way they're going to do that. And it was a little twist that I saw, and I was like, oh my God, here we go. So, you know, you just buckle up and just enjoy the ride for what it is.
I think that A24 doesn't get in the way of the creators, like I said before. Mm-hmm. Very similar to the way AMC was knocking out some shows. They had Breaking Bad, they had The Walking Dead, some other ones I can't remember.
Mad Men.
Mm-hmm. And it's these, it's not that, not necessarily like the
Handmaid's Tale.
Outside, did they do the Handmaid's Tale? I thought that was FX.
No. It's AMC.
Huh.
I mean, we do have technology at our fingertips.
I'll go analog with it and just not know. I lost my train of thought. Go on.
We love it. So, one of my first movie experience with A24 was Ex Machina. And it's one of those things, you know, like I say, I don't want to compare it to Black Mirror, but it was, I think I saw
X. It was certainly in that realm.
Yeah. But I saw X, I keep wanting to say Machinima, but Ex Machina first, and then I think I saw Black Mirror after. So it was just one of those things, when I saw Black Mirror, I was like, oh, this is just like this, you know, so now I love this even more.
I kind of remember what I was going to say. You know why Black Mirror is also mm-hmm. really good, and why Ex Machina kind of reminds you of that?
Yeah.
It's because Netflix, along with AMC, and then there's probably some other studio or distributor mm-hmm. that helped produce these things that mm-hmm. no other mainstream thing yeah. would produce. Because, yeah. you know, you were saying before, it subverted these movies and shows subvert expectations, and, you know, it scratches these itches that you didn't know exist, because these mainstream production companies, whomever they may be, they're like, no, here's the cookie cutter stuff. We'll give you some leeway with it, but we're going to, as execs, we're going to notate the fuck out of it and kind of ruin your main idea.
Yeah, we get absolutely inundated with the same shit over and over and over and mm-hmm. over and over again.
And also, like, it's like that Madam Web. It's that risk factor that a lot of studios do not like to take. Like, they want to take
their movies are so expensive to make.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it is expensive. But it's one of those things that movies back in the day were made, you know, by these directors, and they told their stories. And now it's like, you know, these movies are being shopped around. Like, it's almost a business, you know. It's
absolutely a business.
They're being shopped around. They're being pushed in the market. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting early screenings because certain, you know, these execs or these big wigs that have put a lot of money into this and have investors, they want to make sure that it's a, you know, a sure thing, you know, so it's they're not making movies like how they used to back in the day. It's a very different format of studios making movies now.
It's also the, like, as far as A24 now, you know, looking at this just giant list of movies that they help pump out. It's things that I've never said. It's just giant. Is that I feel like, and not to speak for the guys, the people of A24, but it feels like I imagine they vet the creators and that they have enough faith in the creators. Because, I mean, there's still some mainstream stuff that gets pumped out and you go, who hired that director? Who hired those writers? What the fuck is this shit? Mm-hmm. You know, but you look at these things and you can tell that I won't blanket statement all of it, but like that a lot of these things are, I think the best term to use would be like passion projects. When you give a shit about the thing you're creating and the execs aren't like hounding you constantly and it's the best idea wins, you get a decent product. Mm-hmm. Maybe not be like, you know, Oscar winning this, although everything everywhere all at once did won some stuff.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. But
and Moonlight, right? Which Moonlight was like one of the first
over
like
La La Land.
Big A24. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So I still have to see that movie. It's still on my list. Moonlight.
Yeah. So they do produce these very unique products that people can go back to, and then they can trust a production company to get those butts in movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like going back to comic books, I think what you're talking about is similar to the whole idea of like creator owned projects. Mm-hmm. And I know like recently Image Comics, I think, has started like a line of creator owned stuff. And I've been meaning to check it out. Like I know like some of the big DC writers are even now creating new characters for this Image line that is pretty exciting. Because again, like you said, it's a passion project. Like instead of someone like Scott Snyder writing Batman again, like creating his own character, I think it's Scott Snyder. I don't know. You know us. Hypertag, double check us.
Or don't.
Yeah, or don't. Just go
and
with
also,
us.
And also, I do feel like the studios now, it's like...
check myself.
Studios are looking for directors to direct a movie that they have in the chambers ready to go. You know, because they see that it's, you know, fit or whatever they want to push out. And it's somebody put on a project that they necessarily didn't want to do in the first place. But, you know, I'm going to get a chance to do this movie. So therefore, let me make this movie because then if it does good, then I have a possibility to make maybe one of my passion projects.
Right. That's a good point.
So that's what you get.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. I was thinking Jeff Johns, not Scott Snyder. Sorry.
What a moron.
I know. Correcting myself.
Don't cut that out, Rudy.
Shame.
Leave his shame. Let his shame show.
Yeah.
Let him sit.
What was your guys' first like realization that A24 was like kind of something special? For me, I remember like it was kind of in the back of my head, like, oh, these movies are cool. And then I think I made a post on Instagram where like I recorded the A24 intro thing and I like made a comment like in my story of like, oh, you know it's gonna be a good movie. And I was just shocked. I mean, this was years ago.
Yeah.
At how many people commented or replied to me, just like hell yeah, or liked the post. Okay. Like
more people
recognize that A24 is like a thing. Like you know, it's going to be a good movie when you see it. And
have you also seen like the bad side of the memes where, you know, similar to how Family Guy comes up with ideas?
We were watching one earlier today.
Also, there's a quote by someone that said A24 was short for a 24-year-old will think this is the greatest movie ever.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. I do think mine was probably Hereditary, and then I saw what's the other one? Midsummer. So watching those two movies kind of made me realize that A24 was something, you know, special because it was, I do forget the director, but he said he did Heredity. He wanted to do a horror story, kind of like a dark horror story. And then I watched that movie. It was interesting. It grabbed me. There was a scene that was a big shock value, which I won't say, If
yeah, it's been enough time.
Yeah,
heads are rolling.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just a girl leaning her head out the window,
having
an
attack.
ran into a pole and she just got beheaded.
To put it lightly, she kind of ran into a pole.
But so
what a like masterclass though in like timing.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Shock. Yeah. Like if I was a screenwriter teacher, professor, college, it'd be like, let's watch this. just up to that point. Cause I mean, and I would like, let's watch the trailers and then watch the movie up to that point. And then just to like have that happen. Yeah. Like shock. Like,
movies I love great seeing people who haven't seen the movie, prime. Like their reaction to it.
I mean, I've said this before. Movies are if they do it correctly, they're meant to manipulate you, right? When people go, oh, the movie was manipulating me. It's like, no, they show their hand. They show the magic trick and how it's done. So they fail. And that whole sequence where you're like, wait, what is going on? She's having an allergy attack. And that is the last thing you fucking expect.
Yeah.
Exactly. When it comes to A24 movies, I try to like go in as blind as possible, try to do minimal research. And it's kind of hard sometimes if the twist or that main, talked about shock event is so popular, so to speak, that it kind of gets ruined before. But like, wow. I remember, I remember like watching that and I was as shocked as the kid was, not the girl, but the brother.
Yeah,
she was probably pretty shocked too.
Oh, the look on her face when that head rolled. she was definitely shocked.
That was really well done. Yeah. Ari Aster, by the way, is the director.
So he directed this one and it was a dark story. And what he delivered was good. So I was very interested to see what else was coming out. And then he said he was going to do Midsommar. And then, but it was supposed to be another horror story, but he said he wanted to do a horror story in the daytime. Mm-hmm. So not a, dark horror story at nighttime. He said he wanted to do this in the daytime.
Yeah.
And I was just hearing that, I was already on board because I wanted to see what they were going to do, what things were going to happen, how they were going to pull it off. And that was another one that when I watched that, I was like, this is a ride.
That movie got my anthropology degree. Like,
he goes with this fucking anthropology.
Tangling. Because, Hollywood and most movie making is generally like a white dominated field or a Eurocentric idea. Mm-hmm. And within that world, we've always painted violent cultures onto people of color. Mm-hmm. And so it was very, very interesting to see a very white, very European culture shown as violent. But portrayed in that way of like, this is just their culture. And like we've seen that so much. The whole idea of cannibalism, which isn't real. Like that's been pushed onto so many different cultures and to see white people put as that, like, this is just their culture and it's violent and weird and bloody and stuff like that. I thought that was like purposeful and really cool to see. Cool in that like educational kind of way.
But like Doug said, it was this culture that had these practices where if you went there, you'd be like, holy fuck, like what the fuck is going on? I got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. I'm using the word skedaddle. I got a vamoose.
Whoa, relax there.
But it's
slow down. You want to hurt yourself. This guy is getting worked up.
I have more. Hold on.
Hold on. Scram. Do you guys remember the parodies of Scream with the Scary Movie?
Yeah.
The first one where the whatever people die and it's the day after and they're showing news crews in front of the school and it's the black news television. They go to bed and it's white people have been dying, we're getting the fuck out of here. You see them get in their van and take off.
Yeah.
On that level.
Oh no, but it's one of those though where it's this girl who her life is, like shit. She's kind of going through it. She doesn't feel like she fits anywhere. She doesn't have a place. She doesn't have a purpose. And then she goes to this place and it's, like shock value. But there's certain things that happen and there's people trying to leave, but they can't leave. Mm. And, there's things done to them. And it's, when you look at it from an outside perspective, like it's horror, but it's in this culture, that's just their practice, their way of life. And this girl, in the end, you know, she accepts everything for what it is. And
Florence Pugh, by the way.
Yeah.
What a good job. Yes. Yeah, that's the girl we're talking about. The actress that played the girl.
The beginning of the movie, you see her with this frown, you know, and everything. You know, most movies kind of start the way that it ends the way that it started. So you see her with like a frown in the beginning, but at the end, she has like a smile, you know, like a little smirk, you know, like she's
a demented found her fucking place. Smile, yeah.
But the things that happen to everybody that she knows is horrifying.
Love it.
There's a dude that's sprawled out on the table, and like his lungs is exposed.
Yeah, yeah,
like
fucking angel wings, right?
Through that's his the back. Old
torture name, angel wings.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's a dude
writing that down for a search later.
Put in a bear suit in the barn, like he's drugged, and he can't move. Like he's pretty much paralyzed. And they put him in the barn and they light it on fire, and they're just out there like, oh my god, you know, they're joyful. And there's another scene where there's a ritual where they pick somebody to sacrifice themselves. They go on a cliffside.
The old couple, right?
And they jump off the cliff onto like a
slab,
like this boulder.
Yeah,
and it's splat. But it's their culture. That's their way of life. You know, like there's somebody chosen, and she just so happens to find her place. Like, that's her place.
You know, because in that movie, when I see a white person walking my way, I cross the street.
Hey, yo. So, this episode is getting out of hand. We need to cut that out.
Wow. All this talk, though, brings me to my first recognition of A24. I thought it was just a horror movie house.
Yeah.
Like, I really thought that all they did was pump out horror movies.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at this list, and I'm like, holy shit, they've done 101 things that I've expressed interest in, and it's not all horror.
And documentaries, yeah. Steph Curry.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, holy shit. Like, they really, like, went with a wide net. Like, just get the weirdest, you know, outside the box stuff that there is, and like, let's distribute it and see if people like it. And they've basically formed a cult following around a studio.
Yeah,
that's kind of unprecedented, because I read one quote, because they have like a whole merchandise empire set up.
Yeah, they have a subscription program too.
Yeah, they have a fan club where you get like a magazine. Like, people like trade those magazines and like the poster inserts in there. Like,
yeah,
pretty seriously. Like, on like sneakerhead levels.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Trading and stuff.
Oh no, I guess honestly, it's
some good stuff.
I think it's AAA24.
If A24 was even, you know, making books, like, let's say, you know, novels or something like that, I would be interested in reading these stories, because they're just so out there that it's pretty much my cup of tea. Like, I would definitely subscribe to whatever it is that they're making, you know, whether it be a comic, you know, a novel, a movie, a series, I'm all for it.
I think there's a lot of us that are just anxious for anything that's different, something that's gonna just surprise us. I mean, any of us that watch a lot of movies, watch a lot of shows, you know, they really do all become kind of similar, and so it's cool to see something that's different.
Yeah.
Like, there's times where I go, I'm just going to watch some bullshit thing that it looks like it's going to be garbage, and just it's going to run around in the background. But when I want to watch something that might scratch an itch that I didn't know was there, and that'll be, you know, not to overuse it, a little bit outside of the box, or, you know, something where I go, well, that's kind of new. That's something I can bring up and talk about.
Something that subverts your expectations.
Bingo.
Yeah, there you go.
Like Marcel the Shell with shoes on.
I'm so mad I haven't seen that one.
It was a fun movie.
It's
adorable.
There was this giant list on Wikipedia. It's an A24
movie, by the way. That's why I brought it up.
I was going, we were all looking through this giant list of all the A24 productions, and I was like, wow, so many things I haven't even heard of. And then I wrote down the ones, obviously, I had seen, and then the ones that I hadn't seen, because I'm mad that I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Yeah.
I'm so pissed it's that super I didn't cute. Get around that one.
It's relatively short. I mean, it, like, don't watch it if you're tired because it's not exciting, but it's super fun and super cute.
It's anytime I watch a A24 movie, it's definitely one of those that I really don't pick up my phone when I'm watching the movies. Like, it's one of those that I don't really pay attention to my phone a lot. And then also the way that the movies are filmed and shot, I really enjoyed the whatever you want to say, like the cinematic experience. Like, I liked all that
cinematography.
They give a shit about the lighting. They give a shit about the framing and the actual visual representation of stuff, as opposed to just like, here's the thing, follow the story. You don't need the.
And I think A24 like seeks symbolic. Out those movies. Like, it seeks out, you know, you have this unique vision that let's put some money behind you and see what you got.
Yeah. I want to watch an art display.
I will say this. Younger Jermaine, he would have been like, fuck this studio. Because I went to go watch The Green Knight in the theater, and it was one of those experiences where I was like, man, if I was younger, I would have been, this movie is ass, bro. It was a slow burn. But like I said, the way that it was written, what was happening, and the little twist at the end was done really well. But like I said, it was a slow burn, but it was enjoyable. But like I said, if it was my younger self in this movie, like, I might have fell asleep.
Where's the fucking lightsabers?
Yeah. This is the Green Knight. Where's the duels? Where's the battles? Oh, you know, where's the gladiator style, you know, cinematic fights?
But, so it's rich in other ways.
Well, yes, for me, it's like, you know, as younger Doug, like, I hated going to art museums and any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, as you get older, I think you start to recognize things. And
maybe, I have evolved taste buds now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, evolved taste buds, or just recognizing that, a lot of movies are the same, or maybe you finally get exposed to something that can be different. Mm-hmm. And you recognize, like, oh, man, like, movies, they don't have to be just these, like, fart jokes and people punching each other, you know. And you kind of get into, like, cinematography and, like, how things are shot and, like, how a story can be told. And
I think it's how things are sort of, like, produced on this sort of assembly line of things that we're subjected to when we're growing up in our formative years. So much is, like, fast food. We're like, this is the best. McDonald's is, I love McDonald's. It's not really good for you. Same thing with TV shows and, for sure, movies. Like you said, just all the punching things and all the action things. Mm-hmm. And, like, we talk about some of those things now. Like, a lot of them are comic book stuff, but we love them. So we're going to go watch those movies. Fucking Madam Web. But, you know, yeah, I think as we grow up, we go, oh, I was eating garbage food this whole entire time. There's actually...
Fast food's not garbage.
Rest my case. It's not even necessarily that you're eating,
talking about Taco Bell,
that you're eating garbage.
That's why.
But that you're eating stuff that's, you know, mass produced, and, you know, it doesn't necessarily...
Not to say there's a place for garbage food,
But, you know, you get something that's cooked a little different, you know, something outside of what you usually eat, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, this is different, this is also good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where the chef, you know, goes, I'm gonna, like, if you watch the movie The Menu, yeah, I'm going to tell you what the fuck you want to eat. You know, I'm really, your palate hasn't experienced this. No, but I like savory and salty. Yeah, shut up. Just sit down, fucking open your maw, and then let's just go on for a ride.
See, to me, A24, but and her you head said it's fell the off. Menu. You said the menu. It's like the bear for me. I'm like, thank you, chef. When I watch my movies, I'm like, thank you for this movie. Do you guys have a favorite?
God, that's so...
A24 that's movie so far?
That's tough. That's really, really tough. It's because, again, some of the things they wrote down were, like, really good.
That is hard to say. I mean, like, Midsommar is really, like, stuck with me.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good one,
because, again, like, visually and everything, that one's amazing. Mm-hmm. The Lighthouse, I don't remember too much. I remember, like, watching, like, man, this that was is so movie. Out there.
That was a movie. I had to go watch that because of who was in that movie. That's really why.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was Robert Pattinson
and
Defoe. Yeah,
just because William Defoe was in it, I was with that movie.
Well, yeah. and Pattinson is one of those guys that, like, yeah, he was in Twilight, and everyone just shits on him for that.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough credit for his acting chops. Yeah,
and I think
he was phenomenal in that movie.
And so, like, when he was announced for Batman, I was like, oh, he's good. Like, everyone's gonna be shocked
because of that movie. When I heard that he was picked for Batman, I was like, I'm gonna give him a shot. I'm gonna give him a chance.
But to answer your question, probably Everything Everywhere All at Once is probably gonna stand out as probably like my favorite.
Yeah, that's mine.
Ex Machina, I probably need to watch it again. I've watched it a few times now.
I love the dance scene in that movie. I still watch that movie randomly. Well, watch that moment randomly on YouTube every now and then. It's just a little thing. It's really nothing, but I just like the vibe of just that scene.
There is a cool one, a cool movie, A24 movie, Under the Skin.
Mm-hmm. ScarJo.
Scarlett Johansson. She plays, I guess, does it spoil? I don't know. You know, fuck it. I'm going to spoil alien. It. Yeah, she plays an alien that drives around in, like, Scotland, England.
Scotland.
Yeah, picking up guys to basically, you know, harvest their souls or whatever it is. They never quite fully explain. The cool part about the movie, though, is that they filmed all of that with hidden cameras, and she literally just drove around picking up guys.
Whoa.
Mm. And it was one of those things that I think, like, we talked about this movie, I think, before on this show, and I said, like, oh, no, I don't want to tell you guys. I want you to go to watch it first. And of course, no one's going to go watch it.
No, I've seen it. I don't remember a lot of it.
Oh, yeah. So she drove around, like, in this van and, like, would roll up to guys and be like, hey, I'm looking for this. Like, oh, could you just show me?
Remember that part, yeah.
And so all of that was hidden cameras. And that's why, like, those scenes felt so, like, natural, because it was. And then they'd get, like, they, you know, sign off on being in the movie after the fact. Mm. And I thought that was really cool. And again, like, just going back
to like that taxi game show. Remember that too? They used to have that shit was so
good. But I mean, they'd get some of these people to, like, go on and, like, film, like, actually act out more parts of them, like, walking into the weird room where they'd walk into, like, the Blackwater room.
That's cool.
That's unique.
It is. It's unique. And it made, again, like, the characters, like, just look, you know, normal, like, not like actors, because they were normal people and their reactions and everything. And I mean, especially you got someone like Scarlett Johansson rolling up. Of course, you're going to get guys like, I'll help you.
How much it takes to Scotland? Let's go.
Yeah. But that was a good movie. It was cool and interesting.
For me, it'd have to be Everything Everywhere All at Once. As far as my exposure to A24, I think knowing that it was A24, and it's probably Ex Machina. Mm-hmm. And I just love the way that movie was constructed, the whole idea of AI. I mean, and it's in our real world, it was like in its infancy, and just seeing what it can, you know, come out to. Plus, I love Oscar Isaac.
Oh, yeah, it was who was in that movie. I was like, oh, man, I gotta go watch this. And then the other main character, was he the same guy that was in Star Wars?
Yeah.
Or am I wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I'm trying to remember his name right now. I used to know it.
Because I think he was like the new general or whoever was for...
Donald Gleason.
Yeah, whatever.
He's the son of Mad-Eye Moody. Gleason, I forget his name. He was the dragon hunter, Weasley.
General Hux?
Yeah.
Yes.
But Everything Everywhere All at Once was such an important movie. One, it's the multiverse movie. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Marvel, but like it fucking nailed it. But it also
Star Trek actually was the first.
But it also give me my pen back. But it also
anytime Doug mentions Star Trek,
that's not fair. But it also touched on some generational stuff, and then specifically, like cultural generational things, right? I'm Hispanic, in case you guys can't tell. And when you see, like, what those generational gaps and how, like, our parents and our grandparents, how they act and how they treat you and how you're not getting what you need and you know, it was tough to watch at times. Mm-hmm. Like, the moments that I cried were probably moments that maybe someone that doesn't have to deal with that, perhaps. You know, wouldn't resonate because
what don't I have to deal with?
Nothing, don't worry about it.
Okay,
just sit there and look pretty, Doug. But no, it was, I think that was a very impactful movie. We, as a culture, as a society, I think we really needed that movie. And it, you know, wishful thinking is that our parents wake up and see what they're actually doing to us. And they're like, well, at least I'm not spanking you. And at least I'm not, you're like, yeah.
White people don't have parents. we don't have to experience, like, I was so lost that whole movie. It's like, what's a parent? What are they doing? No, I'm sorry. I'm a jackass.
That's a rare moment.
Upstairs.
Can people. I get that clip? Yeah, but it, even you know, even diving into like the cultural differences and what different cultures have to deal with as far as like being in America, and it was tough to watch those things played out, and I feel like in such a real way, even though they're having to deal with like multiversal stuff. So
yeah, it was a good lesson in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, it was a fucking deep movie. So it was a very, very multi-layered movie, mm-hmm, in the multiverse.
I really, really enjoyed that movie. Really, really, but it's not my favorite. I think my favorite A24 movie is,
well, you're trash,
The Tragedy of Macbeth.
Oh, I still need to see that one.
With the Denzel Washington and Francis McDormand. I believe they're the two title characters, Macbeth and his wife.
Is that, am I wrong? Is that movie in black and white or is it in color?
It's in black and white.
Yeah, okay.
Also, you're never wrong, baby.
I'm pretty sure it was the one Coen brother that's still directing. Because it wasn't a Coen brothers film. It was a Coen film.
This list is so long. I'm trying to find it for you. I'm like, scroll, scroll, scroll. Yeah.
It's 2021.
Nice.
See, I still have to watch that one. That's movie on my list.
And it was just, I have like a love-hate relationship with Shakespeare because it's so hard to follow sometimes in when they try to do it in its original, you know, cadence, language, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But,
and if Leonardo DiCaprio's not in it, I'm not going to watch it.
I was able to follow it, and just the way, like with every A24 movie on this list, almost just the way it was shot, the cinematography, the way they did everything, the way they illustrated everything that was being said, like it made me feel like I could understand Shakespeare, and just Denzel Washington turning in another fucking powerhouse performance.
Yeah.
A banger, one would say.
Is that what the kids are saying?
Is it still a banger? No card of the day.
Quick side note, bop. I like.
Oh, it's a bop.
That's a bop. That's a bop. Damn it, where were you when I needed it?
Maybe you want to substitute that in your future podcast.
I'm about to kill it. Bop.
Stupid. But yeah, I'm going through this list, and there's like 100 movies on here that I have seen, and I'm like, oh, I would maybe someday would like to see that.
Yeah,
and you not liking horror is gonna like cut off a whole bunch of those.
Like, oh, yeah,
Sense, Axe, and Pearl.
But you say that, but I'm like going through the list, I'm like, it's not
that. I mean, yeah, they got more, but
it's like maybe a quarter of the movies are horror movies, but some of these are just, you know, regular.
Would
Axe and Pearl
a horror movie being an A24 convince you to watch it?
There might be some that I would
question.
I think I mentioned that with The Witch, because I read a little bit of the synopsis on that as I was going through this, and I'm like, I might watch that movie. I might break my rule to watch that movie.
What about Talk to Me?
I would pick Hereditary.
Some of that with the hand, right? Talk to the hand. Like, no, I'm good. And I was like, eh, they didn't really.
X and Pearl. I would suggest X. Pearl was okay. I would suggest X. That was pretty fun.
Just okay.
Is that the?
I thought Pearl was just
one?
Okay.
It was.
Yeah,
it was definitely
the porn one.
It was for sure a different movie than X because it wasn't surrounded in
brown chicken.
I thought Pearl was just a little.
On a farm, sells brown chicken, brown cow.
What about
The Whale? I still haven't seen The Whale.
Oh, The Whale. Oh, you know what? I would honestly say that The Whale might be my favorite. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Nope,
you
already said it. No, you can't take it back. No, you can't take it back.
The Whale was really good.
Future Rudy, I'm not listening.
What about Bodies, Bodies, Bodies? Anybody watch that?
No.
I heard you mention that shit, but I've never
seen it.
Yeah. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies was so interesting.
You were trying to encourage me to go see it at the time that it was still up there. I really wanted to see it.
It was fun. I felt like it was this commentary on Gen Z and like their apathy and just their weirdness. I don't know. It was like an exaggeration, but like honest. I felt like it was an honest commentary, which I'm sure maybe Gen Z didn't feel that way. but again, like an A24 movie, it still was kind of surprising at the end of like what all it was. But that still was just like a stupid movie that honestly, like when I saw that was an A24 movie, I was like, oh, really? Like, okay. Like, but I can kind of see it.
Did anybody watch Val?
No.
The Val Kilmer documentary?
Oh, no.
That's an A24 movie.
Holy shit.
Wow.
No.
I watched like half of it and I never finished it. Like, I think I had to do something and I just never got back around to finishing the rest of it. But it was, from what I saw, it was really good.
Hmm. Yeah, there's certainly quite a few on the list. Like, The Tragedy of Macbeth, Beau's Not Afraid.
A friend of mine was telling me to watch that. Like, same the way you were encouraging me to watch it. Like, the fuck you haven't, the same way you're encouraging me to watch The Green Knight. They're like, how the fuck have you not seen that goddamn movie?
Dream Scenario just came out. Like, that, I absolutely need
check to check out the review on Forehead Films.
Uncut Gems. I've never actually seen it.
It's probably on Netflix. I finally put that on my list. But yeah, I'm Uncut Gems is
really, really good.
I'm probably not going to watch it because I heard that it's just like anxiety riddled.
That's why you need to watch it.
No, fuck that. Yeah, I already dealt with anxiety. I don't watch a movie like that.
You know, speaking of what you're saying, you know, anxiety riddled, you know, and how certain people get uncomfortable in certain situations, you know, that happen. In certain movies, you know, like it's either a tense, you know, scene or something like that. But I heard, and I want to try this so bad, because of the visuals that happen in Midsommar, there's drugs and things, you know, involved in that movie. So the perspective is changed and tweaked while you're watching the movie. I want to watch that movie on an edible because somebody said
I was gonna joke earlier, like, do you want to watch these movies on drugs?
That's a hell of a ride. Somebody said to do it and it's on my bucket list, even though I've already seen the movie, but they just said it's a hell of a ride.
The thoughts expressed on the Hypotag podcast.
Well, this show's not pushing drugs, okay? That's just
It's just an edible, it's a personal thing.
It's nature, man. Nature wants to try this shit, man.
I just saw that Darren Aronofsky sold the rights to his first movie, Pi, to A24 last year. Mm. That, I mean, I don't know if you count that as an A24 movie. I mean, they own it now, but they had nothing involved with it. But
they're doing the 25th anniversary re-release.
Ooh.
25th.
Which was last year.
Sorry. Not the 24th anniversary.
Oh, you know what? I think I do remember that being like a Fathom Events or something like that to go watch by. I'd watch that again.
I want to put one of these movies down that we haven't seen on like our movie night list. Have you guys seen Swiss Army Men?
I've seen it. You know me. I drink a lot. I don't remember things.
The Iron Claw.
I don't know if I've seen that.
Yeah, that's one of their more recent movies.
Nah, Civil War is coming out.
Yeah, and we were talking about that. Like,
we should do that regardless because I'm interested in seeing that.
And that might be because Rudy was saying earlier that A24 is making this move into maybe more high budget summer blockbuster tentpole.
That's what Civil War looks like it's going to be. Mm-hmm.
Are those all the names? Tentpole, blockbuster, summer. Yeah, you know, those are all the phrases.
Also, Civil War going to be like
franchise. Sister? Don't make fun of me and my limited vocabulary, you son of a bitch.
What? No.
Is Civil War going to be like what?
Oh, Sisu is amazing.
Oh, no, I'm saying, so they're going to be high budget? Because is the Civil War going to be like Sisu? Oh,
that was so cool. Was that an A24 movie?
No.
Unfortunately.
I do feel like...
we're going to talk about that on this.
The Civil War movie is like, I don't know, the timing feels off.
Timing feels fucking right.
Perfect. It's off and perfect at the same time.
It's so perfect because from what I get from the trailer, it's... I don't know how near in the future, but it's like real near future. And I mean, we're already fighting as far as like anyone who's, you know, politically fueled left or right and just break out into a civil war. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's perfectly timed because I want people who, I don't know, not that everyone's going to watch this movie, but I want society to see how fucking stupid it's being, you know, to the point of like war breaking out. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see how that movie turns out. When does that come out?
It looks good. Soon.
They did a Warhammer movie, The Kill Team.
Oh, did they do it?
No.
Interesting. I was going to say, there was like a Warhammer animated movie a while back.
But... No, there's actually a movie called The Kill Team, but it's not.
It's not really. Yeah, Europe.
When the fuck is Civil War? April.
Doug said you have my curiosity, but now you have my attention. And just, oh, really?
Yeah, Civil War's coming out April 12th of this year. Fuck. Mm. Yes.
Cool.
So.
sorry, go ahead.
Do you guys know where A24 came from?
No, but.
No. No,
I'm familiar with A24 being a fucking type of rat trap. Mm. And it's like this piston thing. So when I tell people about this particular rat trap, they're like, isn't that a production company? I'm like, no, it's completely different. It'll both be weird. I'm going to
look that up. So the guy who came up with the idea for A24 was, there's a highway in Italy that's A24 is the highway. So he was driving on that highway, and that's how he came up with the name for the...
just a bunch of weird shit happening on that thing?
He was driving on that road when he decided to found the company. Yeah, and he decided he was going to do it.
He was like, this is, the inspiration for it was him driving on that highway in Italy.
I like it. That's fine.
Highway. Whatever that damn song is.
Highway to hell. Life is a highway.
I have a fun question for this.
We'll determine if it's fun, Jermaine.
Because A24 is this type of studio, which is this kind of, it has a mixture of everything. You know, they do everything. You know,
the shows, horror, series too. Yeah, the Beef horror, just won some awards.
Have you guys seen Beef?
No.
Bits and Pieces.
Oh, I didn't know that was A24.
I've ate a little bit of it. Oh, my God. I've never seen it.
Euphoria, I can't get into.
It's a fun movie.
I loved Euphoria.
Just watch it. Like, it's a really good series. I always say that it's written well, but it's like, whenever I say written well, what I really mean that the dialogue is well played out with the actors. Like, it just feels natural.
Their characters also feel.
Yeah.
Real.
Yeah, like it feels, you know, like that Beef situation could happen in your neighborhood with your neighbors and all that stuff. But
Beef Doug almost got to a fight with the person that parks out front. We saw them, by the way. We told them what you said, so.
Fuckers in the Tahoe? That's a guy.
Do you guys. So Rudy said that he has that love-hate relationship with Shakespeare. Uh-huh. So that's why he, you know, watched that movie. Do you guys have a story that you would kind of like to see A24 do? Like anything unique?
Unique?
Like I could say mine unique. To give you guys like a...
Go for it.
Go ahead.
Like an idea. So
go for it.
You guys know the story about Dante's Inferno?
Nah.
Familiar with it, yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So you know the guy who goes into hell and it's like the nine rings of hell, like each hell is like a different hell. I would love to see A24 because of the type of studio they are. I could just imagine this guy, because didn't he go into hell to save his girl? Or am I thinking about like the video game?
That was one of the first games I played where there was titties in it.
I was about to ask Dante's Inferno. I played the game. I think all of it is on a path to her, because there's like, I think there's like three more stories in that in that thing, and I think he has to go through as a step to get to her, but I forget.
But it's just one of those stories that in the actual story of Dante's Inferno, the way that hell is described, you know, like how it's described visually, it would be so interesting to see A24's take on it.
So we that will just
be unique
hashtagging and A24, so they'll get this.
So that would be my take. Like, dude, if I had a unique story for A24 to do, like, that would be like one of my
great
hopes for them.
I was gonna say that was a hard question, like, for us to answer, because like when you look at the list of all the mm-hmm. things, when you said like unique, a unique story. I'm like, they're doing everything is unique.
Oh no, they're doing it now. But there's always been that story that I've visually, I wanted to see that mm-hmm. portrayed on screen. I think Robin Williams did a movie back in the day where they kind of had like a take on it. I never saw it, but it was one of those movies where it was kind of supposed to be that type of concept.
Oh, you're talking about What Dreams May Come?
Yeah, something like that.
What a gorgeous movie.
I think.
I really like that movie.
That came out the same year as Matrix.
Did it?
I think.
I didn't see that in theaters. I saw that later, but I remember watching that shit and really liking it. Where he dies and he's in heaven, and then his wife commits suicide, so she goes to hell.
Right, yeah.
So he
travels
to hell to try to like get her out of there, and he realizes he can't because she's stuck in her... People in hell are kind of stuck in the loop of their...
Oh, wow.
Because you have like purgatory their and sorrow.
Depression and all that stuff.
And it's just a recycled thing that just...
I mean, spoiler alert, she unalived herself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So she's stuck in that loop, and he can't break her out of it. So instead of, you know, leaving her and going back to heaven, he decides to stay with her in hell, and that snaps her out of that. But when you're in hell, you forget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you forget there's anything else, and you're just stuck in that loop of your despair.
We've been married.
And then... But when he chooses to stay with her, he breaks her loop, and she's able to grab mm-hmm. him and like leave.
Yeah.
And they both, you know, return to heaven.
Awesome.
But just the concept from where they got there and where he dies and then she dies, and then they're like kind of describe themselves as soulmates.
Ugh.
Which is a rare thing. Which
kind of beautiful movie.
Transcends the barrier between heaven and hell. Like the whole thing is just really good. If you haven't seen it, see it.
And Robin Williams in so many of his roles plays not sincere, but just he plays drama so well.
Yeah.
You know, the love and the hurt in his eyes. What a fucking gorgeous movie. Yeah. See that one with your Valentine. Be depressed, and that's a hell of a love story.
His heaven was
her painting.
Yeah, her painting.
Yeah.
Her like oil painting, and like the whole thing looked like a painting that he was so walking through. Like it was really, really well done.
I like
that. They used, not to break it down technological wise, but they used the same tech that they did like the Matrix bullet time to film some of that.
Hmm.
With like how they blend some of the things. Anyways, it's a visually stunning movie. I mean, 1998, you know, they really gave a shit in making that film and making it feel warm. Yeah, it's so much harder than that movie.
So A24, you feel me? get her done.
Yeah, they could do
it. I need this to happen.
Good pull. Who remember those Robin Williams movie?
Oh, I said it was a Robin Williams movie, but he remembered the name. Rudy remembered the name. Because that shit was...
Put some respect on my name.
Because in the back of my mind, like I couldn't think of the name.
What on that list, that large list of A24 movies or shows, do you feel really guilty that you haven't gotten around to seeing?
Besides all of them?
Yeah, I know.
See.
The Whale, for me.
Yeah, The Whale's...
The Whale, everyone raves about that movie, and I'm like, I'm going to watch it, I just haven't.
Brendan Fraser has such a following, has such a community, and
I love him too.
And that's why I was kind of pissed
after Doom Patrol, I'm major stan.
Well, I was so mad that Batgirl got shut down. Not shut down, but, you know, locked away because he was going to be Firefly and that. Like, I wanted to see him. You know, Hollywood kind of, like, did its thing with him and whatever. I won't go. It's a whole story behind that. But he just seems like a really sincere dude. And when you see him depict this guy and the layers of trauma that he has to go through, it's a stunning movie. You really need to watch that one. Yeah.
I will say that I just recently watched Killers of the Flower Moon, the 3.5 hour long movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, and Brendan Fraser shows up at the end of it, and it kind of took me out of it because it's like, wait, what? Brendan Fraser's in this now? Like again, I was in like a
almost dementia
of 3.5 hour long movie late at night. I think at one point I started falling asleep, and you know, in the trailer there's that explosion. Like I just dozed off, and the explosion happened. Like. That's a way to wake up.
My sister the other day, she's like, you guys want to watch the Killers of the Flower Moon? I was like, do you realize how long that movie is? I do not want to be in the same room with you for fucking 3.5 hours.
Yeah. But Zack Snyder's Justice League, that was like 4 hours, and better. I felt like nothing. So long movies can be done.
Yeah.
I will say for me, mine is probably the first one that got like the most recognition for them in the beginning was Moonlight.
I still haven't seen that. I'm really bummed I hadn't seen that.
I still haven't seen that, so that's on my list to definitely check that out.
That's maybe that could be our crossover movie.
No, we should all go watch Moonlight. Yeah, it's not nerdy or anything like that, but it's within the realm of our conversations, I guess.
Well, his fucking shit doesn't necessarily.
Oh yeah, sorry, we're gonna put on. Yeah. It's for his nerdy movies. Yeah, it's for his shit.
We'll talk about it.
It's for his steaming pile of content over there.
How dare you? The Lighthouse was the one I really want to get around to. Because of Willem Dafoe, because of Pattinson, it just looked like a very riveting movie.
I want to see that just based on Doug's like, yeah, it was good. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm listening.
My brother. I say that about everything I watch, and then I'll watch it and be like, I don't know why I said it was good.
my brother-in-law, Greg, you guys have met him. I go, yeah, man, we got to do like an episode of YHST. He's like, I don't really do movies. And he always does this running joke. He goes, ask me about a movie. I go, oh, what'd you think of Midsommar? It's a good movie. Hey, what'd you think of Spider-Man? Really good movie. Then that's all he doesn't really go into depth with anything. It's always a good movie. Fucker.
Yeah. Most movies nowadays, it's about all you get from it, really.
Yeah.
Well, to expand earlier on them trying to like branch out into like more tentpole franchise summer blockbuster movies. Summer, like, yeah. Do you think that's gonna take some of that edge away from them?
Yes. When you're
damn, no hesitation.
Well, no, because when you're given essentially like a bigger sandbox, if you will, when you don't have the restrictions and limitations, it can, not that it always does, but it can hinder some of that like creative juices because you're not forced into like the restrictions of the budget.
I would say that there is a possibility that it won't. I think as long as they know that they can make their money off of the other movies and they're not so focused on necessarily getting their money back on the big tent poles, because that's what happens, right? Any of these other studios want to make a big tent pole, you know, expensive movie, and they get scared of not making their money back off of it, because, you know, and so that's what forces them to like, okay, let's go back to what works, right? Like, you know, you got to have the B plot with the love story, and like, you don't branch out because the majority of the audience wants to see a specific thing, and they'll make their money back. Where, like, I hope A24 never does that, because that's what makes A24 movies so good, is that they are subverting our expectations. And so as long as I think they recognize that maybe they won't make their money back, but they'll on that one movie, but they can make it elsewhere. And you know, maybe they will make, you know, and again, maybe people will see it initially and go like, oh, no, you got to go watch that. And then, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if A24 big movies like that end up with like a larger audience after the first weekend, because, you know, but I mean, like something like Civil War, I think a lot of people are going to want to go see. So I don't know. I could be talking to my ass right now, but I just worry.
We are the hype attack.
I just worry that they're going to get trapped in that, like, oh, this movie costs us this much to make.
Yeah.
Then we got to play it safe.
I do see that. And I do fear that as well.
I think they've been treading the line because all they do is push mostly indie stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't get those blockbuster numbers that, you know, the major studios do. And maybe this is more of a way for them to kind of keep that indie train rolling by pumping out a couple of, you know, big budget earners to kind of keep those coffers full to be able to spend it on more passion projects for people more in line with, you know, what they've been about since day one.
Because I just have two things that I feel like if they do make these big budget movies or whatever you want to say, blockbuster movies, if they treat it with the love and care that they have been treating with, you know, their other movies, they should do good. And I hope they do good, because I need, for my part two, I need them to show Hollywood, like, you guys need to get your shit in gear.
Yep.
And start making better movies, because it can be done. Because if this little studio can do it, everybody else should be able to do it.
Follow-up question in the same line. Do you think if A24 puts out a big budget movie in the same vein as their indies, where that ending isn't your typical ending that the audience is expecting, do you think the audience, the general, you know, world at large, is ready for those types of movies? Because I can tell you right now, my wife is not.
Yeah.
Anytime you get a movie that doesn't end with like everything getting wrapped up and the hero saving the day, or, you know, generally a positive ending that explains everything, she's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. A lot of people don't like those open-ended movies where you have to
the audience has to interpret
fill in the blank for yourself, like, because they don't give it to you.
I'm hit and miss on those.
It all depends, but it's one of those things. I do feel like we're at that day and age now where there's so much content out there, you know, so much stuff, you know, streaming, you know, whether it be on Netflix, you know, or on any other streaming platform. But there are those A24 fans, you know, it has the cult following, and I will say that you do have, you know, the Black Mirror fans out there. That was a deep ass follow.
I thought I heard that in my head. Yeah, I didn't know that was going out until I looked up and saw it.
Deep ass follow.
Oh shit.
Nope. I wasn't gonna let that
what
since that motherfucker I'm had sorry. A Tom and Jerry cartoon.
I apologize for that. But what scared me the most was the fucking gleam in these two assholes' eyes.
Yeah.
As they're looking at you like, what that mouth do?
Fucking professional over here, man.
Oh my goodness.
Gulp it all
up. Motherfucker swallowed a block of cheese.
Sorry.
But
continue.
I didn't mean to derail.
But because you have all these other, series like, you know, Black Mirror, Love, Sex, Death, and Robots, and all those things, those are unique, you know, their little stories, you know, they're in that little, in the nook and crannies, but there are people out there that loves the bop of these, you know, series or just how these stories are told. I do feel like if they continue to do good, they would build up even more following if their movies are good.
It's my belief that if something is so unique in its own little niche that I don't know, historically, statistically, whatever you want to use it, that there are going to be a number of people that just aren't going to like it. And I like that. I like movies having its own community, because that means, in my opinion, in my perspective, it means that the people writing and creating it aren't focusing on, is everyone going to like it? Let's make sure we add all this in there. It's, you know, or is it enough diverse? It just make the thing that is coming from your heart, out of your head, onto that paper, onto that screen.
Yeah, it's not going to be for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And I am completely, completely fine with that. I think that's how art should be. It should be subjective. It shouldn't be like, well, what do you mean everybody didn't like it? I don't know.
Yeah, unfortunately, this art is backed by a business.
Very true. Yeah. And so, like, I think somebody had said, like, you know, hopefully Hollywood starts making good movies. I don't really give a shit what Hollywood fucking does. As long as there are production companies that also don't give a shit what the bigger person's doing, going, that's fine, you do your thing. We're doing our thing over here. And sure, like,
yeah, he don't care because he go watch their movies, Man and Web and all. Yeah.
So A24, as far as like high movies with a high budget, I think everything, fuck, it's always hard to say. Everything Everywhere All at Once was only a $14 million budget. We saw Godzilla Minus One have a $15 million budget and really crank out some good shit. And Everything Everywhere All at Once was also visually stunning. The biggest budget movie is going to be coming out this April, Civil War. It's going to have a $75 million budget, which I feel is comparably to Hollywood, kind of small. You know? So everything else in between that with all these other movies, I don't know what their specific budgets are.
And also, I do think that A24 does have enough like genres where I feel like everything is not the same, mm-hmm. you know. And even though it's not the same, I still want to watch these movies because I know that it's the studio and how they execute their movies. You know, I'm interested in it. You know, even though necessarily, like, I really wouldn't watch like a, well, not to say that I wouldn't watch like a traditional Macbeth or even like a Green Knight, but I feel like my butt's going to be in that seat because it's A24.
Mm-hmm. And if my butt is in that seat and I end up like not liking that movie, mm-hmm. I'm not going to get mad at it. Maybe it just, you know, wasn't targeted towards me.
Yeah.
And I'm completely fine with that.
Didn't they do the movie like Men or something like that?
What a fucking weird movie.
I haven't seen it. I thought it was horrible. I heard it was horrible.
I didn't think it was like terrible. I thought it was like pleasantly weird.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I am interested in it. See, I'm fine with pleasantly weird.
Like, if you want
to,
because horrible, again, it's like a, you know, it's pretty relative. I don't know. Madam Web is a horrible movie. Like, there's movies that really are fucking terrible.
You did
fucking
this to yourself.
Garbage. Yeah. I know. I'm going to love shit talking it.
Yeah. End of the year, we're going to give a Madam Web award.
Yeah. it made Aquaman 2 look fucking wonderful.
The Webbies. Yeah. The Webby Awards.
The Webbies. Anyway.
Man.
Well, that was a good discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we think A24 will hire us. Can we get sponsored back? Can we pay all this shit off now?
You know, I was leading up to this, I was kind of like playing with the idea of reaching out to their A24, the
It's $5 a month and
to see if maybe they would gift me a couple that I could
that would be cool.
That I could give you guys, but then I just never got around to even.
It happens.
To even doing it. I almost.
$55 a year?
I was looking at that shit. I was like, maybe I get like the gift things to hand to you guys. Just so, you know, it's just a fun little thing, but fuck you guys.
Well, you can also get the friends and family treatment with a blanket discount and their shop for 10% off. Referral. Hey, A24.
All right. Let's wrap this baby up.
Yeah. Have we mentioned butt plugs yet? Let's wrap it up.
Oh, no. Oh, come on.
It's funny you should mention that.
Oh, what the fuck?
So their merchandise empire is on point, apparently. Like, they shirts, stuff from the movies. Like, I ran across the actual gloves of the Wiener Fingers.
Oh, yes.
From everything everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, that's cool. And then as I was, you know, towards the bottom of this little asterisk on the side, the Auditor of the Year award. From Everything Everywhere All at Once. That looks like a butt plug.
Yeah.
They released those as candles. butt plug scented candles.
Oh. Awesome.
So I was like, that way to tie everything together, bring it back into our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
That's very perfect. Cool.
Now this conversation makes sense.
I was lost this whole time. Like, what are we talking about?
And idiots. Welcome to the ass end of the show.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
Man, I want a dream scenario with sleep mask. that is as good a place as any to end this very wonderful episode. Why am I making it very formal? I got in my head about it. Anyways, check us out where podcasts are found. If you're already listening to us, what am I doing? Check us out on social media at The Hype Attack.
At The Hype Attack everywhere.
Instagram, TikTok.
All at once.
YouTube.
Find us on all the social media. Everywhere, all at once.
Yeah, I don't know. What else more? I forgot I didn't have my...
Like and comment and join in on the conversation.
Yeah, there you go.
Where have you been?
Like, tell us A24 movies.
What's your favorite A24 movie? What's your favorite A24 movie? What's your favorite A24 shock moment? Your shock value moment.
Yeah. Heads will roll.
At us, baby. At us.
Well,
bye,
guys.
Bye, everybody.
Later.
Oh, I'm in same hype time.
No, fucking do it right, man.
Okay.
Same hype time. Same hype channel.
Hype Attack.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.